All right, I'll read the scripture here, and then we'll get started. Verse 5 of Galatians chapter 3. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with who? Faithful Abraham. And I told you in the Bible, you can put the Greek in there, says believing Abraham. All right. Well, we've been teaching on the supernatural and this idea about partnering with God is something that God dropped in my spirit as we're teaching on this subject of living in the supernatural. Now, we've come some distance with this, and we started out first talking about a season of the supernatural. We're in a time right now that these situations that are going on in the earth are certainly going to need God's help because of some of the things that are going on. We're in the last days, and those who are operating in kingdom principles, we be protected from things that have come in this world. But we're in a place now like Egypt was, I guess, when Joseph came up there and the famine was about to hit, that the smartness of the Egyptians could not handle this famine. And the smartness of the people today can't handle what's coming. It's going to take the kingdom. It's going to take kingdom people, you and I. So we've been born and in this the body of Christ, or we're in this earth for such a time as this. So what we got operating in us can handle it with no sweat. Say no sweat.
No sweat.
All right. So we talked about a season of supernatural. Now we went on to also talked about the God factor. The God factor. Now the God factor is kind of interesting. Let's go to a couple of places because I want to talk about that. It kind of flows into what we talked about today. Let's look at Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 10. We're in Mark chapter 10. And this situation where this rich young ruler slid up to Jesus and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I can inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, why are you calling me good? There's none good but one, that's God. Verse 19, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, he loved him. He said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way. Sell what you have. Give it to the poor. And you'll have treasure in heaven. Come on, take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had what? Great possessions. Well, he really didn't have great possessions. Great possessions had taken a hold of him. And that's called the deceitfulness of riches. You'll think you have them, but it'll turn on you somewhere if you don't keep obeying God and what he says. So this man lacked one thing. That's pretty good. But he lacked one thing. And one thing I look at that he lacked is he lacked a revelation. And revelation is something that's interesting because it elevates you above the temporary or the temporal, and it brings you into the eternal. So revelation causes you to be able to see something that's not seen yet. It's something that's given to you by God. It's a knowledge of God given you directly from God, and he shows you things that other people with a natural eye cannot see. And so this man lacked this, and that's what I said about doing God's will. You do God's will. It's interesting how if you just make up your mind, because God doesn't look on the outside, he looks at the heart. Make up your mind, you're going to do God's will, then you'll know God's will. And sometimes when people haven't made up their mind to do that, they wonder what is God's will. Look at verse 23. And Jesus looked around about and said to his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said, children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches and into the kingdom of God. Nothing wrong with having money. He just doesn't want you to trust in it because it can become a god. Verse 25, in people's eyes. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, this is not talking about a big camel going through a needle that you sew with, okay? All right. Yeah, I'm not going to go through this. Verse 26. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Because they knew they had something. They came from something. And Jesus looked upon them. He said, with men it's impossible, but not with God. Here's the verse I want you to remember. For with God, come on. All things are possible. Wow. With God, all things are possible. And then Peter began to say, lo, we've left all and followed thee. And Jesus answered, verily I say unto you, there is no man that's left house, a brother and sister, father and mother, a wife, a children, or lands for my sake, the gospel. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, brother and sister, so forth and so on. And many that were first shall be last, and last first. Well, if you come on down in that, because all of this is talking about this eternal realm, talking about this supernatural realm that I'm talking about here. If you come on down to verse 46, he said, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Glory to God. I call that the identification of a royal address. Glory to God. Have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried a great deal more. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called a blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, arise, he's calling for you. And he casting away his garment, boy, that's worth underlining right there. Casting away his garment, that was a beggar's garment. And he threw it away because he was done. He was done. Arose and came to Jesus, and Jesus answered and said to him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said to him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said to him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now it's kind of interesting because these are two different places here that one man had natural eyes, but he couldn't see. The other one had blinded eyes, but he could see. Did you get that? Yes. All right. Now, I believe one of the biggest reasons why Jesus came is to open the eyes of the blind. Now, this is just not talking about physically because he never does anything on one level. It's talking about also spiritually that God would open the eyes of the church so we could see things that the world can't see. And if you can see what they can't see, you can go where they can't go. You can do what they can't do. Are you with me here? So we're still talking about the supernatural. So then, when we come back over to the book of Genesis, this is in Genesis, and Genesis chapter, what did I do with it? Whoop. Genesis chapter 18, and this is when the angel appeared to Abraham. And they said, both angels, and they said to him, said to Abraham, where is Sarah thy wife? Verse 9, pardon me. And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. Wow. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind it. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, underline old, and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old too, also. Boy, she's putting him right in it. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Anything. See, and you have to really ask that. Now, how do we put these two together? Let's go over here to Matthew chapter 9, and we'll see how we put these together. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 9. All right, you with me? In verse 27, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they went out and told it everywhere. Okay? Now, here's what he said in verse 28. Do you believe I'm able to do this? Now, I didn't ask you whether you could do it. I'm asking you whether I can do it. This is Jesus talking now. And they said, yes. So what we did with that is we found out over in John, coming over there with me, and John chapter 14, we found something interesting here. Yeah. Verse 10. Believe thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. Keep going. He does the work. Who does the work? The Father. Now, sometimes they got on him about healing on the Sabbath day. But who was doing the work? The Father. So what we said is our job is to believe that he would do his job. That in your natural strength, you may be outclassed. It might be things too big for you. It might be situations too strong for you, so forth and so on. But with God, you got what I'm saying? With God. And sometimes what we do is kind of overstep our boundaries and we go and try to do it ourselves. Now, wait a minute. Here's the deal. That our job is to believe. Based on this promise right here that brings the faith that he is able to do this. That God is able to do this. And when you do that, sometimes it helps you to get yourself off the hook. Because I'm not going to be the one that does it. He's going to be the one that does it. But he's going to do it based on my faith. I've got faith in the fact that he will do what he said. Now, is anything too hard for him? Nope, nothing impossible to him. So he can do anything, you name it. He can do it. He can put money in your bank account. He can heal that stage 4 cancer. He can come in and get your husband saved in two days. You name it. See? And now what we got to do is we got to come back to trusting in the Lord with all of our hearts. So that's why I told you, I was listening to television the other night, and bless God, I'm telling you, I turned it on, and my dear friend, Dr. Creflo Dollar, was preaching. And he's preaching, and he said something. He said, I just don't believe that God is my source. I believe God is my only source. I said, that's it. I turned the TV off. I said, praise God. That's it. See, what you got to do is eliminate all other sources. Eliminate every one of them, relatives, friends, because as long as in your heart they are part of your source, this doesn't work. Because God won't share His glory with anybody. So that's where it is. That's where it is. So you got to come to that place. And sometimes it takes you a little while to come there because you still, let me just take it on down. You're still messing around with other sources. You're still tipping and dipping. I can preach now. I can say it. Yeah, see, you gotta stop that. And you gotta wait till your heart gets purified because it's gotta be one source. It's gotta be Him. It's gotta be Him. You gotta say, nope, it's Him. Can't look to anybody, anything, nothing, Him. And He will deliver. He controls the cattle on a thousand hills. Come on now. He controls the stars of the universe. He controls every angel that has ever been made. Say amen to that. He can make a Saint Bernard come to your door and ring the doorbell with $1 million on his neck. God made birds feed a man. Didn't He make them? He made a river split. Didn't He make that? He made a city come down when they shouted in praise. Let me tell you, the God that you're talking about now, that you are in partnership with, is an awesome God. Woo! I just got to go back to something right here, right there. Let's go back to a couple of places, because see, you ain't talking about some guy down the street. I got to get that over to you. We talking about here God, man. We talking about somebody who created all of this. This is who you're in partnership with. He is in you. He is closer to you than breath. You ain't got to shout at Him, just whisper. Said, Lord, have mercy. Jack, how? He swings into action. You ain't got to beg Him, fall on your face, cry half the night. You ain't got to fuss with nobody, no supervisor. You don't have to. Oh, Lord, I feel like I'm preaching now. We're talking about God here, man. I got to take you over there. Come on over here. Let's do a couple of things. Coming over to 1 Samuel chapter 17. This is when they've been up there fighting that battle, up there facing Goliath. Goliath up there selling wolf tickets. Somebody said, well, what is that? That's all right. That ain't in the Bible. That's just he's up there threatening them and so forth and so on like that. You hear what I'm saying? And David comes up there. What's going on here? And look what it said in verse 25. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up surely to defy Israel? Is he come up? And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his house free. That means tax free. In Israel, that was worth something right there, brother. And David spake unto the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this what? Philistine. And taketh away the what? Reproach or disgrace from God's people. For who is this? Come on. Uncircumcised Philistine. That's the key. He kept a covenant on his mind. And then he went to Saul. Saul tried to hang his armor on him. He said, Saul said, David, you can't take this man. He's been trained from his youth. David said, I can take it. I took a lion. I took a bear. and I can take this guy too. Notice what he did. He had some private victories before he had some public ones. Come on now. Before you go public, you need to go private. Come on now. Use your faith and get them debts paid off first. All right? And then, notice what happened. He went on down and he put him out there. And the Philistines start talking to him. Verse 41. Philistines said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with a stave or a stick? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I'm going to give your flesh to the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. See, they might talk rough to you. But like the old folk used to say back in that church where I was raised in, well, and well. And look at verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, now you coming to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield. But I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied this day, not next Tuesday. Not going to take that long. This day, will the Lord, come on, deliver you, come on, into my hand. I'm talking about partnering with God now. And I will smite you. I'm going to take your head off of you. I'm going to give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day to the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God. See that? That there is a God in Israel. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword and a spear. For the battle, come on. See what I'm saying? Your job is to believe that he's going to do his job. After you shoot your mouth off, you got to step back. You got to believe that God's going to do his job. Now, I'm saying that I looked at it in the Message translation. Here's what he says. I come to you in the name of God of the angel armies. Now, I like that. God of the angel armies, the God of Israel, the God of Israel's troops, whom you cursed and mocked. This very day, God is handing you over to me. I'm about to kill you. I'm going to cut your head off and serve up your body and the bodies of your army, Philistine buddies, to the crows and the coyotes. The whole earth will know that there is an extraordinary God in Israel. God is extraordinary. See, I like he come in. He wants to show out, man. He wants to let you know there's a big difference between that God over there and the true and living God. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, here, notice, he trusted one source. See, Saul tried to get him to bend over to that armor. Put a little trust in that. Trust in the Lord, come on, with all your heart. I know you got your degree, but trust in the Lord with all your heart. Come on now, I know you got a little position. See, and the thing about it, don't let the devil give you nothing. Don't let him give you nothing. Snatch it out of his hand. Give me it. Take it by faith. The Bible says the violent take it by force. Let's look at one more now. Let's look at Daniel chapter 3. Now, what am I saying here? The supernatural. And the supernatural has been taught. Jesus taught the supernatural. That's why he said when he came to him, he said, whoa, now. I don't understand. He said, how long do I have to be with y'all? He didn't say y'all, but how long did I have to be with you? I don't know. Maybe he did say y'all. But you know what I'm saying. Are you with me? All right, let's look at this. Where did I tell you? Daniel, okay. Daniel, we're going back to Esther after that. Daniel chapter 3. Now, what am I doing now? I'm teaching you the supernatural. I'm not teaching the natural here. I'm teaching the supernatural. Because I want it to be so that when you see a problem, you're not going to look at it in the natural anymore. You're going to look at it from the realm of the eternal. Glory to God. Now, I won't say much about this because you know this as well as I do, I'm sure. But this is when Daniel, the three Hebrews, were faced with this idea of bowing down. And the enemy tries to get us to bow. Why? Because we are on the ascent. We are going up to the mountaintop, and we are going to take control of the mountains or spheres of influence in this earth. And the enemy knows whatever we bow down to on the way up there is going to control us at the top. So what we want is we want the extraordinary to show up. We want God to put us in a place where we have a platform to witness for Almighty God. Say amen to that. And look what it says in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, we're not worried about what will happen to us. They're not even worried about it. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, he's able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, not if he doesn't deliver us and we die. That ain't what it's saying. I like what General Patton said. He said, hey, the idea is not to get you to die for your country. The idea is to get the other man to die for his. Now, I'm not saying that. That's just Patton said that. I didn't say that. Patton said it. Verse 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you've set up. Now, notice what happened because of that. He threw them in the fire. You got it? Now, what God is after here is to create a platform sufficient to tell other people about God. And he's going all the way to the top, to Nebuchadnezzar. Notice what they did, threw him in there. Verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. He rose up in haste and spake unto the counselors. Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said to him, the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see what? Four men, what are they doing? They're loose. They're walking around in the fire. And they're just playing volleyball and just kind of playing around. And they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth looks like who? The Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God. Look at that. He's witnessing now. Come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fiery furnace, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was any hair on their head singed, neither were their coats changed, and nor the smell of smoke was not even on their clothes. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his who? Angel, and delivered his servants that trusted. Come on. In him, not trusted in somebody, not trusted in their degree. I'm not saying anything's wrong with those things. I'm saying when God puts you through this, when you go through this, you got to trust only in the Lord. And therefore, he made a decree saying what the people are going to do and promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So every time you go through a fire, shout out, promotion time. Come on now. Come on, somebody over here going through something right now. Come on, say it. Promotion time. Yeah. All right? Now notice, he tried to get him to bow. Now that's what the enemy is after, because he's trying to get you to compromise on something. Go back to Esther real quick. Esther. See, a lot of times what the church's been trying to do is we've been trying to kind of halfway avoid confrontation. But folks, that's in the Bible. Say amen to that. Somewhere you're going to have to deal with the devil. This man ran into church talking about, I got the devil on the run. The deacon said, well, praise the Lord, Brother Brown. He said, the only problem is he's chasing me. Folks, the devil's not supposed to see your back. Supposed to be facing him. Verse 1, after these things did the king of Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, and advanced him and set him above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai, what? Bowed not, nor... Do you have Esther chapter 3? Oh, okay. Okay. Esther chapter 3, verse 2. And all the king's servants that were... You should have picked it up in the spirit. All the king's servants... No, I'm just kidding. Look at it. Come on. Hurry up. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed in reverence Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai, what? Bowed not, nor did him reverence. So I'm just saying, notice, what got Mordecai in trouble is when he refused to bow to wickedness. He wasn't going to bow to that. Got him in trouble. And then here comes the enemy, of course, and he's going to try to get the whole Jews. Because of that, they put out an order to get all the Jews slain. And now is Esther's time. And look what it says in Esther chapter 4 and verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to Esther, think not that thyself, that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether hold your peace at this time, then shall thy enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time, come on, as this. So you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. One more place. Let's go over here to Acts. Acts chapter 12, please. Acts chapter 12. No, let's go. Before you get to Acts chapter 12, let's just go over here to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. I'm building your faith for the supernatural now. Is anything too hard for God? No. All right. Now they're coming after Jesus. This is about the time that Jesus is now going to undergo his passion. And it says in verse 52, then said Jesus unto him, put up again your sword into its place. For all they that take up the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me what? More than 12 legions of angels. Wow. So, what we said, there was a statement that was made. No matter what the situation called for, Jesus always reached to heaven for his solutions. No matter what the situation called for, Jesus always reached to heaven for his solutions. And the main resource he had to operate in this earth with was his faith. The main resource that he had to operate in this earth with was his faith. We are designed to live totally independent of this world. Say amen to that. Amen. So the church is responsible for this planet. And folks, if we don't come and manifest as sons of God, then the sinners have no hope. Are you with me? Okay. Now, let's go right back, and I just want to show you a couple of things. We'll be done. Let's go over to Joshua, if you will. in Joshua chapter 1, because you are about to go in and take the land. I said, you're going to take the land. You're going to take what belongs to you. The Bible says the earth is the whose? Is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. All right? Now, glory to God. Can y'all give me just a minute here? Now, you need a preacher. Because how can they hear without a preacher? Now, religion will have you come up in this place and sit up in here. And then when you feel like you sat here long enough, you get up and leave. That's a religious spirit. But if you really have the divine nature of God and you're functioning in that nature, you know that God has loaded me with revelation. And just like Jesus at the well, he said to the Samaritan woman, give me the drink. She said, wait a minute. Me being a Samaritan, give a drink to you that's a Jew? Now understand, she knew that the Samaritans were outcasts, were thought very low of, and a Jew didn't want to be seen, some of the people out of Jerusalem didn't want to be seen associated with him. He said, wait a minute. If you knew who you were talking to, you'd ask him and he'll give you living water. Yes. You got what he's saying? He is saying part of my job up there is to preach. But I remember coming and preaching one time and went totally off. It almost embarrassed me. I said, oh my goodness. Now I'm talking about the supernatural church. I got done. A lady came up afterwards. She said, Pastor, I've been fasting for 4 days. I told the Lord, I'm going there today and I need an answer. And the Lord had her to place a demand on the anointing that's on my life. Change my message. I ended up preaching to that lady. Come on now. I'm talking about Jesus was walking with Jairus. And going about his business with Jairus, and the next thing you know, here's a woman that's been confessing, if I can just touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And the Bible says she came up and touched him. He's walking now, minding his business, and drew that anointing out of him, got healed without his permission. I'm saying we're going to take this thing to another level. Whatever answer you need, I'm going to be a vessel to feed it to you. I'm talking about you can get wisdom to pour through me as to how you can get rid of that disease that's kind of on your body. Come on. How you can get that business started with no money. Listen, folks. I'm open. All you need is a preacher. How can he preach except he be sent? Draw that thing out. See, I know, glory to God, there is an anointing that, Lord, the church should be the benevolent empire of the world. Folks, you talking about money. We supposed to have it in reserve. All you need to know is where is the next calamity. We're going to rebuild it as fast as it gets unbuilt. I'm talking about the tsunami come in 1 year, the next year it's all built back up. Watch this. By Christians, by the house of God, with a Bible in every home. Now, I know that that new kidney is right there. See, if the old one can't get fixed, just replace it. See, y'all looking at me strange now. See, I'm trying not to lose you. This is meat. Say meat.
Meat.
Everything that you have need of has been seen and put up in a storehouse from God. Everything. Everything. When Brother Copeland said that that time when we were in Africa, God, you know how you talk, God had made you rich beyond your wildest imagination. When he said that, that thing hit us. Whoa! So now I've been meditating that, because meditation brings revelation. Revelation brings you access into the eternal. You begin to see that abundance. Folks, I don't care how many jobs you can work. None of them can pay you as much as God has laid up for you. Now, that doesn't mean you go there and lay across the bed and don't do nothing or go in the park and feed the pigeons. That what that means is your work now becomes a way of you serving your fellow man. Amen. And a way of God having to bring out of you, glory to God, how did I get off on all of this? All right, let me just finish this. Where do I have you now? See, I started putting out my best stuff. And, you know, I see folks kind of start yawning and carrying on. You know, I just, what can I say? All right, what do I have you? Where do I have you now? Joshua chapter 1. All right, put it up there. Verse 3. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you. I'm not going to give it to you. I've already given it to you. Every bit of the promised land is already yours. Every promise in that book, the answer is yea and amen. It's already yours. Watch this. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even to the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward going down the sun shall be your coast. Keep going. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. No, I better read that again. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Let me read it one more time. Come on now, because you think your husband's your problem. Now, I'm just letting you know that includes anybody. Watch this. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. I will not
fail you,
nor
forsake you.
All right. Let's see how he was with Moses. Come on over there. All right. Exodus chapter 23. You should have scriptures all listed up there. Praise God. Whoa. Exodus 23, please. All right. And look at verse, I think it's 20. I don't know. You should have it up there. Okay, verse 20. Behold, I sent an angel before you to keep you in the way and bring you into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him. Obey his voice. Provoke him not, because he won't pardon you. He will not pardon you. Beware of him. Obey his voice, for he will not pardon your transgression. For my name is in him. Next verse. But if you shall indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies. I'll be an adversary to your adversaries. For my angel shall go before thee and bring thee into the Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites, Jebusites, Parasites. No, Jebusites. Watch this, and I'm going to cut them off. Now notice what he's going to do. He's not going to let you run from your problem. He's going to make you face it. But you're partnering with God. And he's going to cut them off. Now, he won't pardon your transgression. How do you transgress it? With your mouth. So you can't get there and start talking unbelief. If you got on that armor of God, just imagine you're an armored soldier. You got your face mask down, everything. Well, the devil can't tell whether Jesus isn't in there or you in there. But when you say something like, my feet are killing me. Well, he said, I know who you are. Boom. And try to hammer you. Now, what am I trying to say now? I'm saying these angels. Now, they're about to start in your life on a level that you've never had their activity on that level before. I'm prophetically speaking now. They're about to start in your life on a level. So what you got to do is make sure you say what God said. Coming over there to Psalm 103, please, verse 19. Psalm 103, verse 19. Look what it says here. Put it up. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens. Watch this. And his what? Kingdom rules over all. What's part of his kingdom? Angels. Got it? Next verse. Bless the Lord, ye his who? Angels that excel in what? Strength that do his what? Commandments. Keep going. Hearkening unto the voice of his word. So if I have somebody's Bible and this Bible I put up to my microphone, listen at it. Let's see what it says. Boy, it doesn't say nothing, does it? So who gives voice to it?
I do.
I do. I do. You are the one that gives voice to his word. Yeah, yeah. Once you do that by faith, angels move. Yes, sir. Now you look at all the places that angels serve mankind, because when you get saved, the Bible says that Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 says, aren't they all ministering spirits that sent forth for them who are heirs of salvation? So the angels are there. I'm only talking about the supernatural. I'm talking about Jesus never dealt with any problem from heaven. I mean, from earth. He always dealt with it from heaven. He always knew that he had more resources than anything in the earth. You know what I'm trying to say. So my point to you is, you got to say something. And you just can't walk up there and close your mouth. You got to say what God said, even if it doesn't look like it's going to come out that way. Now, angels are on the move. And they're there to serve you and make what you say come to pass. I told you about this lady, and it was a true story. She was getting out of a car, and she was in a very dark place in the city. And she got out of the car, and two men came up to her. And they grabbed her from behind. And she said, just instinctively, she said, Jesus. And when she said that, she noticed that jumped back and her hands let go. And then she saw it got effect. So she said it again, Jesus. And they jumped back again. And then they turned around and ran. She told the police caught the man, two men, came down for a lineup and had her to identify. She identified the two men and she said, yes, these are the men. And the man, as he was going, being taken out, he turned back to the lady and asked her, who were those two men with you? I'm gonna tell you something. You may not be able to see them, but God can open the eyes of a heathen and they will see a big man standing up beside you that is ready to do business. Say amen to that. Jesus taught all of this. Now let's go and see him teach it. Turn to the last place, Acts chapter 12. The devil is a liar. I believe angels will bring you money. Come on now. Watch it. Watch this. I believe they'll bring you a man. Now I'm talking about husband now. Because I saw. I saw in the scriptures where the angel was sent to lead Eleazar, Abraham's assistant, servant, lead him to a wife for Isaac. So if the angel will lead him to a wife for Isaac, then the angel lead a man to you. I mean, God ain't no respecter of person. Last I heard. Now you got to describe him right now, because if you say you want anything, he might bring anything out that to you. And then your prayer will change. Lord, get this man out of here. Okay. Do you believe with God all things are possible? Do you believe that? Get religious and start limiting God. Look at Acts chapter 12. That's all we got. Stay here with me now. I'm almost done. Acts chapter 12. All right, look at this. I just want you to see this because somebody taught on this. I mean, that's the only reason they would have this. This is when Peter was in jail and now prayer was made for him. Verse 5. And Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made for him without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod, who would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said to him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, cast thy garments about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and the second wards, second watch, they came into the iron gate and that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And go on down here. And verse 11, and when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his who? Angel. And has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Now notice he was sleeping in prison when the angel woke him up. Now he's going to be sleeping and the next day they're going to cut his head off. So you can imagine he knew something. Verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said to her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was so. Then said they, it is his who? Angel. So it's kind of interesting how they had been taught about angels. and they understood the ministry of angels even that last day. So Jesus came, and he came to restore us back to that supernatural place where you and I are. And only impossible thinking can produce impossible living. So you and I need to study the impossible. Study things that happen. Study the anointing of God. Study the supernatural gifts, the blood of Jesus. Study the fruit of the Spirit. Study revelation knowledge and things that have to do with power of the resurrection, power of the Word of God. You see, the church is responsible for this planet, and it's time to take ownership. God has given us the authority and the responsibility to even govern how governments are run. He has given us all the resources we need, and we need to learn how to tap into it. Jesus said, it's not me, it's the Father in me. He does the work. I'm telling you, times are coming where the world is not going to have any solutions. The smartness of the Egyptians could not handle that famine. But God has got a people that he's raising up right now. And these people are going to be the people of God. So no matter what the situation called for, Jesus always reached to heaven for a solution. Let me just end with this. This man was picking another man up at the airport. And he picked him up because the man was going to be a speaker at his church. And he came to the airport to find him. And he couldn't find the man. He was supposed to come in on the 3 o'clock flight. And just couldn't find him. And he stayed around. And I guess it took maybe about 3 hours later. And the man he knew that the man was supposed to come in. He forgot to get his cell phone number or whatever have you and all of that. And so what's the next thing he did? He just almost was giving up. But as he was turning away to go out to the airport, he ran into a man. And the man asked him, excuse me, are you from such and such a church? He said, yes, I am. He said, I'm Bishop so-and-so. Bishop so-and-so. He said, well, Bishop, you don't look like your picture. Because that's all he had seen. He had just seen a picture of the bishop. Well, whoever sent him the picture of the bishop sent him a picture back in the 60s when the bishop had a big, big afro and everything. What has happened is the church had lost its identity. They didn't look no more like their picture. And I'm telling you, God has taken us back to the perfect picture of Christ. He's going to build a perfect image inside of you. No longer will you kowtow or bow down to any threats of the enemy, but you are going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his faith. Right. Give the Lord a praise and glory. All right. If you just hold on for a minute, please. We're going to dismiss.